This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
1 hour down, 3 more hours to go. Welcome in to downtown Las Vegas, live at the Circa Resort and Casino, alongside Matt Eumanns. I am Doug Kazarian. So much going on right now in sports, with preseason football, along with baseball, a lot of pennant races, some huge games going down as well. But we got our eyes glued on some preseason action as well.
Yeah, I got some good news for you too, buddy. This is only a 3 hour show tonight. It's only 2 hours to go.
Oh.
Yeah, we switched on Friday nights back to a 3 hour show last week. So for the rest of football, it's 4 to 7, not 4 to 8. So we can grab something to eat at 7 o'clock tonight. So we don't have to do 3 more hours. Hey, it's
daylight,
been a long time.
Daylight savings in the middle of the evening.
I know. It's been
dinner time, daylight savings here.
It's been a long time, but it's great to hear Chuck Esposito's voice, and he is back with us tonight, Doug.
Yeah, local odds maker over at the Red Rock and the Station's Casino Groups, as he joins us now live here. And Chuck, good to be with you. And not a lot of odds makers enjoy and embrace the NFL preseason, but you are one that does. And we have two games underway. We have a couple 7-0 scores. Jets lead 7-0 in Pittsburgh midway through the second quarter. And midway through the first quarter, Panthers lead the Jags 7-0. And we have one more game coming up as well, Packers at the Broncos. In terms of action you've taken or opinions you have or things you've noticed from behind the counter, what stands out across the board here?
I think the uncertainty of preseason, guys. I mean, I love it because it means football season is here. But we're going to take a much different approach. I mean, we're moving games a lot quicker, a lot more aggressively. You're going to see games that three might be skipped, where it would never be skipped during the regular season. You might go from 2 to 3.5, and you might go right back down to 2.5. A lot of it's based on who's betting these games, quarterback rotations, and the action that we take. We're in an information era, so a lot of this stuff is out there right now. We know our guests are highly educated as well, but there's at times a lot of volatility in preseason. So far, knock on wood, with the first week of preseason and the scores yesterday, they've been good so far, but we still have the rest of this week and next week as well. But just a much different approach to the way we book preseason football, to the way we do the regular season.
Chuck, right now the Jets lead the Steelers 7-0 second quarter, midway through, about 4 minutes ago in the second quarter in Pittsburgh. Carolina up 7-0 on Jacksonville midway through the first quarter. Looked like the favorite flipped at most books here today. Steelers went off as 2.5-point favorites. Did you see sharper money, would you say, on the Steelers side?
We did, Matt. I mean, we were at 1 on the Jets, and we actually kind of got up as high as 2 before you started seeing it kind of come back and go the other way, where we ultimately closed the Steelers 2. So, again, we're moving stuff a lot more aggressively and a lot quicker, but it's booking the faces, knowing if this is a sharp money or not, and then moving it accordingly.
Our game of the night, because football is king, is Packers-Broncos. And, Chuck, this line did hit 7 briefly this week. What's the handicap from behind the counter on Green Bay, Denver with, what do you have, Denver, a 6 or 6.5-point favorite right now?
We're at 6, Matt, right now, as you mentioned. I mean, we opened 4 and it quickly went up. We were as high as 7.5. And that was another really aggressive line move before we started seeing a little bit of a push come back on Green Bay. We're clearly Packer fans in this one, but you don't see a regular season game go from 4 to 7.5 unless there's a big injury, especially to a quarterback. You're not going to see it move like this, but much more aggressive move in the preseason. We're not going to walk it up the ladder in half-point increments as much. You're going to see a lot quicker movement, and that's what we saw in this Packer-Bronco game.
How about the rest of the weekend? There's obviously a full slate here. Saturday, super busy, just one game on Sunday. Anything stand out to you in terms of, you know, you can read the screen in terms of even the line movement of the market, and then also what you, in terms of action you're taking behind the counter?
I guess what's interesting, Doug, is that, you know, some of these teams have practiced against each other all week. We know the Bears and Bengals did. There was a couple of fights there. We know the Eagles and Patriots did as well. So kind of curious to see where those two games ultimately end up for the week and what kind of line movement you see. If you look at this Eagle game right now, we opened the Patriots 1.5. It's now Eagles 1.5. So that game has totally flipped. And when you look at the Bears-Bengals game, opened the Bengals 1.5, and now it's Bears 1.5. So that game has also flipped. But these are two matchups where these teams have practiced all week against each other.
Chuck, how about last night? The Raiders were 1.5-point dogs during the week, closed as favorites on a wild finish in that game last night in Houston, where the Raiders went at 22-20. How was that betting result at your book?
it was actually good, Matt, because the bigger result was the first half. I think once it came out that Mendoza was going to play the entire first half, we had a much bigger decision on needing the not needing the Raiders in the first half, but needing the other side in the first, needing the Texans in the first half than we did in the game itself. So getting a dominant first half by the Texans was really good for our side of the counter.
How do you feel about the quarterback situation with the Raiders? Do you think it's the right thing to do to start Kirk Cousins in week one or so and let Fernando Mendoza sit and learn for a while?
In my opinion, it's 1,000,000% the right decision to do. I think you have to let him sit. I mean, he wasn't under center a lot in college. You have to remember, he won the Heisman, he won the national championship, he was the first overall pick. But if you talk to guys who really follow the sport, going into last year, he would not even have been invited to the combine. So he had that great 1 year, and I still think he'll be a good pro, but I think it's going to be much better for him to sit for as long as they can possibly sit him and understand the speed of the game, as we saw with that 80-yard pick yesterday.
We're talking to Chuck Esposito, sportsbook director over at Red Rock Casino. I agree. I don't think Mendoza was this can't-miss prospect. I think he's going to be fine because he's such a hard worker. And he's got the right frame, the right work ethic, the right intelligence. But, I mean, a lot of that success was Zignetti-based. So I'm in agreement there. In fact,
I don't mean to interrupt you, Doug, but I thought one thing that really he gained a lot of respect for me was the way he didn't give up on that INT. I'm sure Raider Nation did not want to see him diving on his shoulder like that. But I think that speaks a lot for the kid and what you said. You know, he's an intelligent kid. He's going to work hard. He's going to learn from his mistakes. But in a weird way, throwing that pick six, but giving a full-out effort and chasing that guy down all the way to inside the five and diving, even though he didn't make the tackle, I think he gained a lot of respect from people for doing that. And I don't blame him for being that kind of a player.
Yeah, I think he's an All-American person, and I'm rooting for him. But I did have to, you know, I do worry about just the expectations. As a Raider fan myself, there's so much of Raider Nation is desperate for a savior. But
I'll never forget the day when Doug Kazarian was celebrating the drafting of Jamarcus Russell.
I knew you were going to say that.
So. He was hyped up that day. Huh? You have to admit it.
No, I wasn't. I didn't know what to expect.
So don't give him a VHS tape to watch. I know a lot of people
exactly.
are talking about
blank.
A VHS tape, but don't give him a VHS tape. I guarantee if they gave Mendoza one, he would tell you it was blank if it was blank.
Right. Last year was a disaster, and I think they're going to be better, but that doesn't necessarily mean more wins. They'll just have more competence and certainly a better offensive line. I'm beginning to think, just because of the schedule, under 5.5 wins might be a pretty good play here for the Raiders. I just think it's going to be really tough sledding. The defense is bad. The wide receiver, besides Bowers, is nothing to write home about. How are you anticipating this win total, and what kind of action have you taken behind the counter?
Same, Doug. I mean, I think the first game against the Dolphins, I mean, it's not a gimme to me that they go out and dominate and kill the Dolphins. I mean, Malik Willis was given a big contract. He's got a lot of experience in the league. I know that they made some trades. They lose Waddle. They don't have Hill anymore. They still have A-Chain. I think the Dolphins, you know, I mean, if that number continues to tick up, there's some value there. But I think the Raiders need to kind of set the stage week one right now. Our bettors, like we've talked about, Matt, for years, are going to back the Aces, the Knights, the Raiders, because they're our teams. But there's a lot of optimism early on, and you want to see them play well, but they play in a really tough division with the Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos. I think it could be a long season for the Raiders. That's why I think it's important that you sit Mendoza for as long as you possibly can.
Chuck, as we look at the NFL futures board, where have you seen, let's say, action on Super Bowl futures? Let's start there, AFC or NFC so far.
There's about half a dozen teams, Matt, that there appears to be some value the bettors like. The Chargers are a team they like a lot. The Broncos are another team that is getting a lot of love. The Bengals, but so much is contingent on Joe Burrow staying healthy. We know the Steelers and Ravens have new coaches. The Cowboys, at a price like 50-1, defensively, if they can improve a bit, we know how good that offense can be. Some question marks with the Eagles, with the Commanders and Giants. So maybe this is the year the Cowboys bounce back. The Falcons, too, are getting some love at that 80-1 price in the NFC South. So those are kind of the teams right now that we're starting to see some value-based money come in from both sharps and the public.
How about your Chicago Bears? Are you seeing Bears action or not?
We have, Matt, but yeah. I mean, you look at the price of the Bears. I mean, it's still at 18-1. It's not like it was the last couple of years. I mean, they're defending North champs, but that is a really tough division. Yeah. You can, I think, make a case that any one of those four teams can win the North.
What futures have you had to move the most aggressively?
I mean, the most definitely one is the Chargers. They've come down considerably, guys, and so have the Cowboys considerably.
Okay. All right, you know what? The Cowboys have become a chic pick with a lot
very
of people.
Very trendy.
If you've if you've listened to or watched VSiN over the last couple of months, a lot of Cowboys support out there.
Yep.
Are you seeing that at the book too? Apparently.
Yeah, we are. I mean, they're a very public team. They're a team that always seems to get a lot of love, and we know offensively they are really talented with CeeDee Lamb and Pickens and Prescott and Williams. But that defense has been an Achilles heel the last couple of years, and they drafted defense. We know that Parsons isn't there anymore. But if that defense can play well this year, I think they at that price there's definitely value there.
Right, Caleb Downs, the safety they drafted at Ohio State, expecting to make a big impact. Quinnen Williams they got at the deadline a year ago, so maybe this team does in fact turn the corner at least a little bit defensively. They don't need to be the 85 Bears. Maybe they can just be middle of the pack defensively, and that offense will do the rest.
No one's the 85 Bears. Come on, Doug.
All right, my man. We appreciate it, Chuck. We're up against the clock. Thank you so much for taking the time.
I'm looking forward to being out with you guys.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit from behind the counter. Red Sox get a 3-run jack. They now lead 3-1, bottom three. Yankees 2-0, but Schlittler gets a leadoff hit in the fourth allowed, so maybe the Jays getting something going. We'll continue to monitor this. I think we have an interception in one of the NFL preseason games. A whole lot to get through. He is Matt Humans. I'm Doug Kazarian. This is Visa in Primetime.
This is Visa in Primetime on Visa, the sports betting network.
We have some developments on the diamond. Cam Schlittler has allowed the first two batters to get on in the fourth inning, does get a fielder's choice to first. So now two on in scoring position and just one out. Top of the fourth inning, Yankees lead 2-0. But one pitch can certainly change things. And McAdoo in, who's been replacing the injured Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I believe, in the Blue Jays lineup, and the Red Sox have a 3-run jack from Wilson Contreras in the bottom of the third, and they've added to that. Bases loaded, so 3-1, two outs. Red Sox lead the Giants at Fenway Park in the bottom half of the third. But I know, Matt, you've been tracking this Yankees game, which was nice. You got the Spencer Jones 2-run shot to right, but Schlittler's been shaky all game, even though he hasn't allowed a run yet.
Yeah, it was nice to get that 2-run homer, get them the lead, and I thought he would pitch better with the lead, but he is not doing that tonight. He's just Cam Schlittler at home. His body language is different. His facial expressions, you can tell his attitude is not the same. When he's on the road, he attacks, and he's got the killer instinct. When he's at home, it's almost like he's expecting bad things to happen. He just had a 2-2 count to Ernie Clement, and he grooved a high fastball that Clement ripped to, I think, center field for a hit. And I said, come on, you got to throw the curve on 2-2. You don't just groove a high fastball. I just don't think he's on top of his game. Bottom line here is Yankees up 2-0. Live line is minus 345. If you want to lay a run and a half, which I would not do here, that's minus 136. I still feel like the Blue Jays are live. Now, the Yankees bullpen has improved tremendously over the last couple months, especially David Bednar on the back end. But Schlittler's got to get through five or six here tonight and keep the lead. And it looks like he's going to get an out here. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I believe that's going to be a strikeout. That's only his second one tonight, but that's a big strikeout to get on McAdoo with runners on second and third. Like you said, you're one hit away from this score being tied at two. So it was a big strikeout to get. By the way.
Yeah, three straight pitches, too. Like, that was a nice kind of buck up, and,
right,
and he got a foul tip on the third strike. But well done by Schlittler. But you weren't kidding about the splits, Matt. His ERA at home is 3.95 on the road, 1.1.
He's outstanding on the road.
Insane.
And if you look at strikeout walks ratio and home runs he's allowed and things like that, he's been so much better on the road. And hopefully, like I said, he can get through five innings with the lead tonight. And if you bet the Yankees, you still got a long way to go in this game. Sonny Gray is getting some run support. Like you mentioned, he's got 15 wins. You know, Schuettler's only got 10 wins. The Yankees bullpen has probably blown 4 or 5 wins for Schuettler. But Sonny Gray has 15. He's on track to lead the majors in wins.
And there are voters who are old school who care about that.
Right.
I know the modern day, it's all about the stuff that the pitcher can control and not the offense. But that is something to keep in mind. The Red Sox, we're down 1-0 against San Francisco. But they got a 3-run shot, and they've loaded the bases. They just got a bases-loaded walk. So it's 4-1. We're still in the third inning, bases loaded. And I can't really see who's up at the bat. Casper's at the dish here. Now, Schuettler has a base to work with, so he can nibble with the ninth batter Straw batting, but you don't want to go to the top of the lineup with the bases chucked. So he's got him now 1-2. This is a big, big at-bat here.
I agree.
Because the Yankees' offense, I mean, they're limited. Right, you're not going to get much. Blood from a, you know, turnip or whatever the phrase is.
Dark in the pregame, I said I hope they can get 4 runs of support for Schuettler in this game tonight. They're halfway there. And if they get him 4, that should be good enough to win the game. We'll see. Right now he's got a, like you said, a very important batter. He's got a 1-2 count. And if he can get out of this, things would be looking a lot better for the Yankees. Live line now is New York minus 540.
Uh-oh. What That's happened? Not good. It's gone down.
No, it went up.
I thought it was $7 at one
point. No, it was $3.50.
Okay.
Were you thinking about the Red Sox?
Well, I may have said it, you know, early in the game or something, you know, when there was 2 on and 1 out or something like that. So I'm just glad because I like the unders. I have the first 5 minus a half. You know, I like Ben the first 5 in the matchup. That's what I did with the Red Sox, who did get out of it. So they go to the 4th inning up 4-1. So obviously a big 3rd inning for Red Sox backers because they were down 1-0. So keeping an eye. They've gone to the break in Pittsburgh at the big catch-up bottle. 7-0 Jets with the lead over the Steelers on the road.
By the way, Schuettler threw 19 pitches total in the first 2 innings. How about 50 pitches in the last 2 innings?
I mean, he's full count to Straw.
Full count, runners on second and third, and he's not out of this yet. Live line, Yankees minus 502.
These are the situations. Like, you don't have to give in to them, but if you do walk them, then you have to face the top of the line with the bases loaded. So you don't have to give in to them, but you also can't just throw something in the dirt either.
Nah, he's probably going to try to get him on a curveball here on a 3-2. Let's see. Or just blow him away with a fastball. Which way is he going to go?
If he can.
Yep, fouls it off again.
He's done a nice job of fouling it off, back-to-back sinkers.
See, the Blue Jays have seen Schuettler enough. They're not really fooled by him at this point.
They just saw him last weekend.
I know. That's why they're not biting on his curveball. I think they've got a really good read on him, good scouting report on him, and that's why I thought this was going to be a tough start for him tonight.
Yeah, I usually avoid games when there's a kind of rematch a week later. I don't bet on the pitching side or the batting side. I just throw it out. But I did want to go back to Schuettler here just because he's been such a big game pitcher.
Like he gets out of it.
And I didn't think the bullpen game was that scary. But he gets a pop-up.
He gets out of it.
He's already walking towards the dugout.
Yeah, the live line's minus 7-10 before that, so I knew
at least Volpe wasn't out there to drop a pop-up. Lombard was the shortstop.
By the way, we're at halftime in Pittsburgh. There was a missed field goal right before the half. Did you see that? I believe the Jets missed the field goal.
So they moved the ball to field goal range with 1 second to go, and then they called timeout. Okay, so there's 1 second. I think it was a really long one, and then I didn't see the kick because I was obviously
the kick was wide right,
navigating things.
And all we have is that first drive touchdown by Geno Smith. Jets 7, Steelers 0. Will Howard has been disappointing here. If you bet Pittsburgh, I've been a fan of Will Howard. He has not played well at all tonight. 2 interceptions in the first half. That's why the Jets are up 7-0. Panthers lead the Jags 7-3 early in the second quarter in Jacksonville. Live line there is Carolina 3.5, total 36.5. Doug, I was kind of regretting. I thought this Jets-Steelers game was going to be low scoring. Did not play the total. Now the live total is all the way down to 24.5.
Well, last week I had a live under on the Steelers game, and right after I bet it, early in the fourth or third, there was like an 80-yard completion into inside the 5, and it was just painful to watch it go up in flames. So I did come back with a live under on Saturday in the Chiefs-Rams game, but I also bet the team that lost. So I went 1-1. But man, it's torture sometimes because nothing is reliable, especially when you're dealing with third and fourth stringers. Like, you know, the NFL, it's kind of predictable. That's what makes it annoying. These coaches are conservative. You can kind of expect what's going to happen, a punt fest if a team's up 10. you just don't know what's going to happen in this preseason. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Matt. This early on, this is sort of my read of the situation. I feel like, so, you know, in the NBA, a lot of assistant coaches will get to coach a preseason game because the coach wants to develop his staff, give them opportunities to grow and maybe get a head coaching job. Or summer league. Remember, like, Becky Hammon got to coach a summer league for the Spurs. And what's happened is that these head coaches are giving these assistant coaches a chance to call plays. Like, Ben Johnson gave Antoine Randall-El the second half in week one. And these guys don't want to sort of develop the quarterback. They want to get matriculate up the field. So there's a lot of checkdowns and easy completions to move the sticks. And then a lot of running back in the flat, you know, get 6 yards, maybe broken tackle 11 yards. It's really annoying when you expect a vanilla game plan because you have a really young green quarterback. But these, like, Shieldhouse was calling plays for the Rams in the preseason, the new OC, the former guy from Illinois.
Sure.
So I feel like that's lending itself to more scoring because these new play callers don't want to go three and out. They're even more reluctant to go three and out. So I feel like they're calling basic plays and not really calling, like, NFL plays.
It could be a factor. I mean, that's an interesting read. I did notice Antoine Randall-El was calling plays for the Bears last week, and maybe you're on to something with that. I've also, you know, we've always talked about defenses being ahead of offenses when the preseason starts. I don't really think that's been the case the last couple of years. Last year, week one of the preseason, those games averaged 44.8 points. And if you watch week one of the preseason, it was lower scoring this year. But again, you got defenses, Doug, that don't blitz. They don't really disguise coverages, playing very vanilla defensive looks. And a bunch of guys out there who can't play. But we looked at the Raiders in the last couple of games. Raiders' backups on defense are bad, right?
Everything's bad on defense.
I know.
Starters do. But you're right about the vanilla. I mean, remember everyone singing the praises of Justin Fields, his first. And it was funny. Fields wasn't even starting the preseason. Right. He was the third stringer or second string. So he was playing against third stringers who aren't even allowed to blitz. So you're talking fringe college players who aren't even, and everyone makes him out to be the next stud quarterback. And I'm like, easy, let's pump the brakes here.
That's why you heard all that praise about Carson Beck and Haynes King and whatever early in the preseason. You got to realize these defenses are not blitzing and there's very vanilla coverage. And it's a totally different evaluation of quarterbacks when you think about that aspect of it. By the way, you got a wild pitch here by the Blue Jays and the Yankees. Are going to have a runner on second with, I believe, no outs.
Right, nobody out in the bottom half of that fourth inning. By the way, Panthers up 7-3, early second quarter. I know Chuck Edel last night gave out first half over 19.5, so that's looking okay in that preseason game. We're going to talk some futures with Aaron Moore, the professor, going to join us. What has he learned so far in this preseason, and what player prop futures can we make moving forward after what we've already seen in this preseason? That's straight ahead on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Some guys have all the luck. Tim Murray and I headed to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime, live from the islands, Wednesday, August 26th, plus an island edition of the College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down all the Week Zero action. Don't miss VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. Watch as Big Red stands out in the sun and gets burned.
I was going to say, we have the Twin Towers going to Hawaii. Maui Matt, you're going to the main island, huh?
Yeah, we're going to be on Honolulu. We're going to be a Hawaii football pride. We're going to do the show here Monday night. Catch a red-eye flight to Honolulu. We will be at Hawaii football practice with Timmy Chang at 6 a.m. Tuesday. How about that?
Are they going to ask you how much eligibility you guys have left? You're two tall dudes headed out there.
Tim can play tight end. I'll be the backup quarterback.
Block some PATs maybe? The height coming in with the arms raised?
Let's not use up all the professor's time here.
Good point. Okay. All right. He is Matt Humans. I'm Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN Primetime. We're talking some NFL futures as we bring in Aaron Moore, the professor, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Aaron, good to be with you. I know we chatted last weekend discussing some player props, but as the preseason unfolds, you're also evolving your handicapping for what you see in some lineups, some projected performances. What stood out the most in the preseason that you think is actionable for the upcoming regular season?
So, first of all, Doug, I think that's the main point of looking at the preseason is what are you going to project for the regular season? And you have to be able to change your handicap as you go. So often what we talk about is the Los Angeles Chargers. We talk about the Los Angeles Chargers. What I saw yesterday, boy, you're really going to have to address this team. That was a pathetic performance, what they had. And I think it's going to make you a little bit skittish so far on their offense. Herbert only played one series. It was 3 and out. The offensive line that you were hoping was going to be a big upgrade. They lose Tyler Biadasz. They had Cole Strange at right guard last night. He was pathetic and awful. So I think if we look at the Chargers, the optimism is still going to be there in certain areas. I like Omarion Hampton over 7.5 rushing touchdowns. We talked about that. But overall, I think what they did last night is going to change your viewpoint moving forward.
The professor, Aaron Moore, check out this graphic here. This is one of my favorite ones. We've got the professor with his chalkboard, his best bets, Omarion Hampton, Chargers running back, over 7.5 rushing TDs. Aaron, last night we did the VSIN Pro Football Futures Draft. I was about to take Hampton over his rushing yards prop, 949 yards, and Tim Murray snagged it right before me. What do you like here for Hampton? Yards, touchdowns? What's your best bet? How do you think he's going to be used in this Mike McDaniel offense?
I definitely like his touchdowns, Matt. The 7.5, looking at it. So regardless of what the Chargers do, if they go over 9.5, 10.5, wherever their total is right now for wins, Omarion Hampton, if he's healthy, and that's obviously a big thing. Last year, we saw him get injured, and that obviously threw off his statistics. But 7.5 touchdowns makes a lot of sense. Because the Chargers have Keaton Mitchell, they have Kamani Vidal. Those are two smaller, a little bit more of speed backs. If the Chargers get the ball within the 5-yard line, they're going to pound it with Hampton. He's a big running back. They have Alec Ingold, who comes over from Miami, the fullback who played for Mike McDaniel. With McDaniel's offense, you're going to see a lot of interior movement, some just different sets. I think that's going to really help the line here in terms of Hampton getting these touchdowns. And something the Chargers used to have in the past, they would have a tall tight end, a tall wide receiver, almost be able to throw an alley-oop up to them. The Chargers don't have it. Herbert doesn't have it. So if the ball is within the 5-yard line, I think also the addition of Charlie Kohler, a blocking tight end, it really sets up Hampton to run the ball often and punch it in when they're about 5-7 yards out.
All right, Professor, how about Justin Herbert? You've been high on his MVP chances for a while. Have you kind of cooled off in that thinking or not?
I haven't really cooled off in it, Matt, because I think we talk about narratives are so important. And Herbert hasn't won an MVP. There's been, you know, some speculation that he just hasn't reached full potential. I think he does this year with Mike McDaniel. And then look at your other options. Josh Allen has already won an MVP. Mahomes, MVP. He's coming back from an injury. Lamar Jackson. I just think the usual suspect, so to speak, have already gotten their MVPs. And you have to really look at it from a quarterback standpoint. So it's wide open in terms now of Herbert having a narrative if he can have the performance. And as I said when we started out, I think you have to readdress what the Chargers did, and it was pretty poor. But you're going to have Herbert an opportunity to throw and run. I just think it's going to be good for him in the offensive production that Mike McDaniel is going to allow him. So I'm still pretty high on him, partially because of Herbert and partially because the other usual suspects when it comes to MVPs, they just have already had that star, so to speak, and I think it might be Herbert's turn.
All right. One quarterback that's gotten a lot of buzz here at VSiN in the Pro Football Futures Draft, Keyshawn Johnson, was singing the praises of Kyler Murray and what he could experience and potentially flourish under Kevin O'Connell, given what Sam Darnold did. But you're not exactly drinking the Kool-Aid on Kyler Murray. Why is that?
Doug, I think it's important not to drink the Kool-Aid and be a certain contrarian better. It is interesting if it's VSiN or we hear any other media talk. There's so much publicity and positive talk about Kyler Murray coming over to KOC's offense. That really is the dominant narrative, and the books have it priced that way. So I'm going under his passing total, in his passing total of 3,049 yards. So basically over 3,000 yards. I'm taking the under for a number of different reasons. I'm trying to be contrarian, go against the narrative. Kyler Murray has had a number of injuries. And I think it's interesting if you look at totals and then you kind of compare it with fantasy as well. Kyler Murray can have a good season and still come under that passing total. He can have a good game and rush for 60, 70 yards. So the 180 yards that he's going to need to average to get this total, he doesn't necessarily have to get that every game and still have a good game, because I do think he can contribute, obviously, with his feet and his rushing total. And another aspect about Kyler Murray that I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid here, Doug, is J.J. McCarthy is still a presence. You don't necessarily know if Minnesota is going to be able to turn around as quickly as some have predicted them. If things don't go well, there has to be an opportunity for J.J. McCarthy to take the field, and then you get a Kyler Murray benching. So, yes, Kyler Murray at one time was the number one pick. Yes, he's playing for an offensive mind in KOC. I just don't think that really equates to guaranteed him going over the total. So I took him under 3,049 and a half yards.
Well, when you bet these unders, if you get an injury, you're in pretty good shape. That's one thing you typically have going for you too. How about Aaron Rodgers? This is another guy you don't know if he's going to hold up in terms of health. It looks like you're going to bet Aaron Rodgers passing prop under.
Yeah, Matt, I'm fading Aaron Rodgers, 43-year-old quarterback. Certainly is an issue of his age. Once again, another guy who has injury issues, and it's going against the narrative. It is Aaron Rodgers back with Mike McCarthy. It just seems like that's a great story, and I think you're going to get some public bettors to jump on that and just assume Rodgers has a good season. But at that age, obviously, Matt, some things can go wrong with him injury-wise, misses some games here or there. And I think it's interesting to look at the schedule, and we want to try to tie it in together with his totals. Week 11, Pittsburgh's at Philadelphia. Week 12, they play the Broncos. Week 13, it's Houston. Week 14, as we get later in the season, it's at Jacksonville. And week 15, against Baltimore. Those are some tough defenses a 43-year-old quarterback is going to be going against. He misses a series here or there. He misses a game here or there. That total certainly can come in under. So I'm going against all the Aaron Rodgers, 43-year-old love. I'm taking him under his passing total.
All right. It's easier to win unders than overs in those situations. So that is Aaron Moore, the professor, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, more of Aaron's analysis for the upcoming season and picks on the VSiN football betting guide, the NFL betting guide. So go check that out. Aaron, we appreciate the time, my man.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
You too. And the Blue Jays are on the board. Cam Schlittler in a little bit of a jam. Leadoff double. Got a pop-up. Or really got two pop-ups. One was dropped in foul territory. But he gives up a single to Alejandro Kirk going the other way.
He's
going to
get through the fifth inning and get out. He doesn't have it tonight. Nope. So if he can get through five with the lead, get out of the game. He's at 82 pitches. We'll see if he can get out of trouble right here. Yankees up 3-1. The Blue Jays threatening again.
All right, we'll continue to monitor these games. The Red Sox were up 5-1, but two homers for the Giants, including one from former Boston Red Sox slugger Rafael Devers, makes it 5-4. We're tracking all this action on the diamond and on the gridiron as we roll on here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College football season is almost here, just a little bit more than a week away. Betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 that I put together with Paul Stone, power ratings, betting systems, best bets from VSiN's sharpest handicappers. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, AI-powered prop projections, daily best bets, betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year. Save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSIN.com/subscribe.
Matt, in about a week from now, we'll be having decisions on college football games, on point spread outcomes.
Hopefully favorable decisions for us. Yeah.
Week zero next Saturday. So really fired up for that. You have a bunch of good analysis. You mentioned the top 50, but you also have some win totals as well as part of your futures wagers, as do a lot of VSiN hosts. Mm-hmm. Quick, what's your favorite college football win total?
Oh, it's Fresno State over 6.5. That's my favorite.
Okay.
It's easy. I've talked about that one on VSiN for a month. I'm not going to rehash it tonight, but that's my favorite. Fresno over 6.5.
All right. I encourage everyone to go check it out at the VSiN, college football betting guide. Schlittler did get out of it. He gave up a run. So he's through five. We're bottom five. Arrighetti is getting pulled for the Blue Jays after a leadoff single to the inning from Paul Goldschmidt. So the Yanks have the runner on first to lead off the bottom half of the fifth. 3-1 lead for New York. Another low-scoring game involving the Yankees.
Yeah, it is. And the Yankees live right now, minus 1,080. Take back on the Blue Jays, plus 750 with that 3-1 lead for the Yankees. Live total, 7.5. Doug, the Yankees only have three hits in this game. They got that two-run homer from Spencer Jones, and they got a sac fly there in the last inning. But they've had to kind of piece together some offense tonight to get Cam Schlittler this 3-1 lead, and he played with fire throughout his five innings. I think he probably should be done for the night. I would not send him back out. He's got 85 pitches. He's allowed six hits and three walks, only struck out two. He doesn't have his good stuff tonight, and typically he starts to run into trouble when he goes a third, fourth time through the lineup in the sixth and seventh innings. And he's been letting the leadoff guy get on almost every inning. So maybe the Yankees go to the bullpen here. But like you said, the Blue Jays are going to the bullpen for the third time here in the bottom of the fifth.
So Ben Rice coming to the dish, or at least the top of the lineup that will involve Ben Rice. So the leadoff guy of the actual game roster and inning is Paul Goldschmidt. He's on. Now, Sonny Gray doesn't have his best stuff, and he's given up four runs. But the offense has helped him. He's gotten five. So Red Sox lead 5-4. Top half of the fifth against the Giants at Fenway, one out. Back and forth game in Philly between the Phillies and the Cardinals. St. Louis has leadoff runner on in the seventh on second in scoring position. Nobody out as they trail in Philadelphia 5-4. Like I said, a back and forth game that both teams, wanted to gut out some victories here.
Yeah, let's go to football here for a second because the Steelers are driving. They're down 7-0. They just hit a big pass play. And inside the 25-yard line here was 7 minutes ago in the third quarter. And I was talking earlier about I thought the Steelers plus 3.5 was the good live bet out there at the time. Steelers are now down to plus 1.5 live. The live total is 23.5, Doug. You're not going to get much more offense in this game.
No, and you wonder if you're taking 4.5 at any point, they're not going to kick a field goal if they get down because even with the lead, these teams want their quarterbacks to go for it on fourth. So I'd be careful trying to think you're going to automatically get points on fourth down when you're in the red zone because a lot of times they're just going to go for it.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you want to get your field goal special team some action, maybe even the kickoff team some action too, so you kick the field goal. But I certainly understand the justification for getting your quarterback a fourth down rep.
Let me ask you this because you think about this stuff critically like I do. Last night, Clint Kubiak's a rookie head coach. The Raiders have fourth and seven at the Texans' 42-yard line in the second quarter. What the hell do you have to gain by punting? Why don't you let Fernando Mendoza try to convert a fourth down? On the previous play, the third and long, he hit the receiver right in the hands and he dropped it, right?
Right.
So why not go for it on fourth down? What do you gain by punting in plus territory on the 42-yard line right there?
No, I heard the show last night and I was sitting there nodding my head as you were venting about it. I don't get it. So sometimes they want to maybe test their punter or their coverage unit.
He's a veteran punter.
But I would say, hey, we're in hurry up. You got to run out there and punt. I would actually have circumstances to at least simulate something that I want that involves a punt. Some of this stuff, or maybe my defense, red zone defense, if it's the end of the half. Sorry, not my red zone. Hurry up defense, end of the half. These are things I think about to your point. And we are, because of the sack on third down, we're getting a field goal attempt from the Steelers,
and
a long field goal attempt.
It
would have been fourth and very long, and he hooked it wide left.
Another thing is, You're getting kickers who have no chance to make the team. They will throw them out there in some of these preseason games just to get them a kick attempt, like Kansei Matsuzaka, the former Hawaii kicker.
The Tokyo
Toe. Yeah, he missed a field goal last week, a couple extra points last night, and you get that too. So the Steelers are right there in scoring position, and they take a sack. Drew Aller takes a sack, and then they miss a field goal. Anyway,
what I would do, because you've thought about it, you know I think about every – so if on fourth and one around the 30, I would go kick the field goal because I want to see if my guy can kick a 48-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have the end guy line up in the neutral zone. I would commit a 5-yard penalty, but not before the snap. So in case we made it, they would take the penalty, and then I'd get the best of both worlds. I'd get the long field goal attempt simulation, and then I would also get to go fourth and six.
Okay.
So I would commit a 5-yard penalty,
yeah,
but post-snap. You know, I still want to, so I get both situations to kind of practice. I would do something ridiculous like that because you only have three preseason games.
Yeah, sometimes you are. I understand a lot of times coaches are going to practice certain situations, mm-hmm, but you don't need to punt from the 42-yard line on fourth and seven. You got a rookie quarterback who you're trying to groom, right, to be the starter. Why would you not go for it on fourth and seven and plus territory in the second quarter of a preseason game?
We have a winner to give out.
Okay.
Because Chuck Edel was on the show last night. Among the wagers he gave out, first half over between the Panthers and Jaguars. It wasn't looking good, but the Panthers get 10 points themselves in the second quarter. We go over 19.5 with a 17-3 score with 2 minutes to go. We don't even need the two-minute drill. We get there. So obviously, Chuck, with the handicapping, just how transparent these coaches are, although Liam Cohen was waffling, but at least you knew the Panthers were going to have Bryce Young. He's thrown 6 passes. So they got there. I mean, it's half points here and there. That's the margins in betting, and you got there over the 19.5 with 20 total points.
The Panthers, like you said, 17 points on the board against the Jaguars tonight with 2 minutes to go in the first half, and we're not able to watch that game, and this bothers me too. It's 2026. How do we not – we're in a sports book in Vegas. How can we not get a game like this on TV?
Well, you got the replay on the NFL Network this weekend.
Well, I'll watch the replay. I record all the games. I watch replays, but we're here doing a live show right now.
I know.
How can we not watch this game?
It is ridiculous. My ESPN.com says it's available on ESPN Unlimited. Does that help you?
I don't know.
No. Well, Yankees get another base hit. So
I've got ESPN Plus. Is that the same thing?
I have no idea. Okay. I am able to watch some baseball games on my phone. I know that. First and second, one out now in the Bronx. So the Yanks, heart of the order, getting some traction going. First and second. Now, that's a big spot. Maybe the Jays can the bullpen can keep this together and maintain the 2-run deficit. It's 3-1 Yanks, bottom five, one out, first and second.
Got a text here from Will Hill. You ready for this?
He's at the game, right?
From Yankee Stadium tonight. He's at the game with his family. His wife bought tickets.
Yankees correspondent on this Friday.
He said, beautiful night, 75 degrees. Home run by Spencer Jones landed in the next row over from us. The guy got into a fist fight with a woman because she tried to steal it from his kid. There we go.
You weren't kidding when you said that Will Hill caught it. Did you know?
I saw him on TV.
Oh, you did? I thought you were just totally messing around.
No, I actually thought I saw him. It could have been another, big guy that looked like Will.
Say, but, the guy jacked and looks like he can bench press automobiles. The Yankees have the guy they want at the dish, Ben Rice. First and second, one out. The Jays do have a lefty against the left-handed batting Rice.
Right.
Other games we're keeping an eye on. So we've been focusing on these two games because those are the monitors in front of us. But the Nats and Marlins in a 1-0 game in the sixth inning. The Nats didn't score yesterday against the Rangers in Arlington. They have a 1-0 lead in Miami, bottom six. Orioles beating the division-leading Rays 5-3 at Camden Yards in the seventh. Remember, they took 3 of 4 in Tampa
last weekend.
Yeah. Right, they got the wraparound series. The Rays avoided the sweep at home on Monday. Mets leading 3-0 on the White Sox. I'm telling you, Sean Manaea has been actually pretty good since coming over to New York. And A's and Astros scoreless in the third. Tigers and Royals scoreless in the fourth. Angels and Rangers, no surprise, scoreless in the third.
You're a professional broadcaster. You made that Nationals Marlins game sound exciting.
All these games.
Where can we find that game, Doug?
I took unders in so many of these games, especially the Tigers game with Melton and Noah Cameron on the bump, but I didn't do it. Sure enough, it's 0-0.
Speaking of unders, we should talk about that. 5.5 today, the total on the Braves Brewers game.
Yeah, it was more six. It was more six.
I know, but there were some 5.5s out there.
So we'll recap the Miz. All he does is win. We'll recap that as we roll on here live on VSiN Primetime.